Well, welcome here. This is a good morning. My name is Tim. This is Christy. We're a couple of the pastors that are here. How about that, changing things up a little bit on you? Don't know what to do about that. Today, we're starting a brand new ministry season. That's why we're calling it Kickoff Sunday. How many start school last week? Anybody start school last week? Got some good teachers? Feeling pretty good about that? That's awesome. Well, like Michael said earlier, we're starting so many things up here. And September is one of my favorite days of the year. Is a chance to sort of rethink how we want to do our lives a little bit. What kind of schedules we want to have in our lives, what kind of routines we want to set in place, what kind of habits we want to have. And so I'm so excited about the possibilities that we have here in our church and time together. And every September, we teach through the mission statement here at church, because we believe that the mission statement describes who we want to be as a church, who we want to be as individuals. And that mission statement is this: by God's grace and for his glory, we are a loving community, passionate about God, compassionate to those in need, constantly pointing people to Jesus, all with extravagant generosity. Now, I know this doesn't describe us perfectly now, because it's a goal. It's where we want to head to. It's what the work we want Jesus to do in our lives. And today, we're kicking off our series by focusing on the phrase that says, by God's grace and for his glory, we are a loving community. And so we're doing lots for community today.
Yes.
This is a high priority to us around here. We want to continually grow in this area. And I'm here with Pastor Christy, and she focuses a lot of time on community. This is a pretty big deal to you, isn't it?
It's a really big deal to me. Yes. Yeah. Pretty passionate about it. Yep.
Pretty passionate about it. Christy does oversees a lot of our, most of our adult community events, as well as how we connect with our the community of Sylvan Lake. And she just does an exceptional job with that. And today I want to pick your brain, Christy, because you're the expert in this. I want to pick your brain and get some of your thoughts of what you're thinking. I want everybody to hear from you today. Today, the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at, if you have your Bibles or on your devices or whatever, it's Acts chapter 20, verses 25 to 38. And for those of you joining us online, man, you are part of our community, and we're glad you're joining us virtually. I don't know how the nachos are going to translate virtually, but you may want to set some nachos out for yourself after the service, because that's what we're doing here. Anyway, I imagine this whole thing, this scene of this scripture taking place on a windswept beach on the Mediterranean Sea, just on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And Paul is meeting with some people today. And so I'd like, Christy, if you could read that passage to us.
For sure.
And then we'll get into it.
Yeah. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning you of night, each of you, night and day, with tears. Now I commit to you, to God, and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. And everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and he prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship.
All right. Well, Lord, thank you for this passage of scripture today that we get to look at, we get to think about, and then how it applies to us, the kind of people, kind of community that we want to live. So be with us, Lord Jesus, as we dig into your word here a bit and as we apply it to our lives. Help us to be obedient and ready to be changed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. So quite a tender scene. of this group of people on the beach. And Christy, can you give us a little backstory as to how this thing came to be?
Yeah, for sure. So Paul had spent time in Corinth, and he travels to Ephesus on his second missionary journey with Priscilla and Aquila in AD 52. Here he establishes the first church in Ephesus and then returns there on his third missionary journey, where he spends 2 to 3 years in total preaching the word, not holding back, addressing false doctrines and pagan practices. Ephesus was the center of occultic practices and black magic. In fact, the temple there had the goddess Artemis in it. And so he spoke a lot of the truth of Jesus and who he was. He spent a lot of time there. In this particular passage, Paul was on his way to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, and he knew that he didn't have time to stop in Ephesus on his way. And so he stopped at another nearby city and called the elders of the church of Ephesus to come and join him there. And so that's where this takes place. But he spent a lot of time with this church. In fact, so much so that even after, once he ended up in Jerusalem, he was imprisoned there, and he continued to invest in the church of Ephesus there, and that's where the book of Ephesians comes from. He wrote the book of Ephesians to the church of Ephesus while he was imprisoned.
Okay. So they're in this farewell thing in this on the side of the Mediterranean Sea, and they have a conversation. Paul talks to them. They interact. Are there themes out of that conversation that we can learn from to help us build community here?
Yeah, I felt that there was three themes that really stood out to me in this passage. The first one being spending time with Jesus. In this passage, Paul says to be on guard, as there will be those among them that will try to deceive them from the truth and will pull them away from the ways of the Lord. So Paul says, as he speaks to them, remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning you with tears, night and day with tears. His care for them was that great. His desire for them to be rooted and established in Jesus was just that great. His emotions were portrayed in the depth of the tears that he shed for them. Jerry Bridges states in his book of True Community, it says, there's one thing more fundamental to true community than our relationship with one another. It's our relationship with God. Without our relationship with God, there can be no spiritual relationship with one another.
So I mentioned to you, I had a thought about community.
Oh, yes.
It just came back to me
okay.
now.
Okay, what is it?
I was thinking of your connection campfires
yeah,
this
yeah.
summer, right?
Yeah.
So someone will host a connection campfire somewhere in this vicinity, and they light a fire over here, and you got people scattered all over the place. Well, everybody then began to move towards the fire, and the closer they got to the fire, the closer they got to each other.
Absolutely.
Yep. Isn't that a great picture?
Yeah, it's a great picture, yes.
And I think same with Jesus. The closer we get to Jesus, we come from all these different places. We all draw closer to Jesus. Now we do it. We find ourselves drawing closer to each other. So I agree wholeheartedly.
I love
that. That's awesome.
I love it. Secondly, the importance of spending time with believers.
Yeah.
And so Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We grow as we are together. We challenge one another, we encourage one another, we speak the Lord's truth to one another, we pray for one another. So I see this as we need Pauls in our lives. We need the people like Paul that teach us, that call us to truth, that keep us grounded in the truth of Jesus. We need Barnabases. So Barnabas was known as a man who came alongside Paul. He was an encourager, and he journeyed with Paul. And so we need Barnabases in our lives that are encouragers. And then we need Timothys. Timothy came alongside Paul as well, and he was mentored by Paul. And so we need to be mentoring and investing in those that are new in their faith and their walk with Jesus. So probably the most impactful Paul in my life, outside of family members, I would say I was in my 20s.
Oh.
Yeah, nice try. I'm now in my 40s. So that was when I was in my 20s. And there was a lady in our church. Her name was Irene. And I admired her faith walk with Jesus, first and foremost. I loved how she lived her life. I loved how she worked. I loved her passion for ministry in the church. And so I just approached her. She would have been in her 70s at the time. And like I said, I was in my 20s. And I just went up to her and I said, Irene, would you spend time with me? Can I learn from you? And so we met every week at her house for tea, and we prayed together, and we studied God's word together, and she was a safe place for me to just come and pour out my heart and then seek her wisdom of years in her faith walk with Jesus. And so she was the first Paul in my life. But I've been blessed with many Pauls in my life, and I'm really, really thankful. And then I have Barnabas's galore in my life.
Galore?
Galore. Like a huge number, many of which are in this room. And I'm truly, truly blessed that people that walk alongside me and encourage me, spur me on in my relationship with the Lord and continue to pray with me and go before me, go with me. And then the Timothys. I have been blessed again to have the opportunity to invest time and just I hope from what I've learned with my walk with Jesus to younger women in their teens, in their 20s, in their 30s, and just really love on them. And I hope that they see Jesus in me. That's my heart's desire, is that I live my life that is pleasing to God and that I can somehow be, a blessing and can come alongside them just as Paul did with the Church of Ephesus.
And I think this is critical. These three relationships, mm-hmm. these three interpersonal relationships are critical. Someone who can speak into our lives. Do you have someone like that who speaks into your life, who kind of coaches you, who helps you to grow? You need that. I need that. And so I found men who I can turn to that would speak into my life. Do you have somebody that comes alongside you, a brother, a sister, to hold you accountable, to encourage, mutually encourage mm-hmm. you? You need this in your life. Mm-hmm. And then, do you have someone that you're pouring your life into? Someone that you can share? You don't have to know much, but whatever you know, be able to share it with them, to see them grow up in Jesus. We need this. And I think we're kind of at baby steps of that as a church. I'd like us to see us be superstars at this. That all of us would have these three key relationships in our lives.
Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome. And the final thing that I see out of this passage is spending time with those in need. Mm. So verses 34 and 35 say, "You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work that we must help the weak, remembering what the words of the Lord Jesus himself, which says, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Paul modeled this well. He worked hard as a tent maker, not only to provide for his own needs, but those who traveled with him. Now, I don't want to dive too deep into this, because I know that you and Pastor Heather next week yep. are talking about being compassionate to those in need. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to go any further into that.
All right. So let's say you were strolling by the beach that day. Mm. Let's just imagine, strolling by that Mediterranean beach. Yep. Jen, we could maybe
What's
do that.
Like to stroll
What's
behind
it like to stroll on a Mediterranean beach? And you saw this group of people there.
Yep.
And you would have noticed tons of emotion. What might you have concluded because of that?
Wow, I would have thought of like real intense relationship.
Yeah.
Just this intensity, because it talks of, he expressed his emotions in tears. They were kneeling beside him as he was praying. They themselves embraced him. They were weeping. And so I just see this posture of just true humility, but one of great love and care for each other. In fact, Tim, I said to you, I texted you as I was, when we first had this passage and I first started studying it, I texted you and I said, "Man, I'm literally here weeping as I am reading this, because I really feel as if this is a picture." Now, Tim did not pay me to say this, just so you know. But this is a picture of how I feel you invest in us as a church, as a body of believers. And I believe that if you were to leave here tomorrow, this would be the scene that we would see lived out in your life. Because I see your desire to invest in us. You are immersed in the word yourself, and then you speak God's truth continually to us. And then you spend quality time with us, encouraging us, teaching us, calling us out when we need to be called out. But then you have this posture of humility. You are authentic. You are real. You don't come across as better than, but you have true, deep love for us. And I believe that if you were to leave here tomorrow, I believe that you would be the person on your knees, just as Paul was, that you would be praying for each one of us because of your deep care and concern for us. And then we would be in tears because of the relationship we have with you. And I just so appreciate that.
Oh, thank
I
you.
Really appreciate that.
It's so mutual. And just detail, I do hire you. And I did ask you to speak today. So in a way, I did pay you to say that.
You kind of did pay me, I guess. Yeah.
Well, Christy, what have you experienced that kind of community? What was so great about it?
Well, how much time do we have?
Yeah.
What's our clock doing?
It's going fast.
Okay, it's going fast. Honestly, man, I could tell you story after story of the times that I have experienced true community. I have been blessed once again with amazing brothers and sisters in Christ who I have been able to journey with through celebrations, through hard times, through some of the greatest victories and celebrations in our lives and some of the deepest sorrows and heartaches. And so I've been able to come alongside and pray with, cry with, laugh with, play with, all of those things. We have spent time diving into God's word together, again, holding each other accountable. I have been financially supported. I have come home to my freezer and fridge full of groceries unexpectedly. I've had bills paid unexpectedly for me, not to mention the hours of prayer that has been a gift to me. And then my friends that hold me accountable and call me out when I'm believing the lies of the enemy. And that's really, really important. Or if I'm not walking in obedience, the boldness they have to go, Christy, you're not quite doing things quite as God would want you to do. And so now it sounds like I'm a constant recipient of that, which is not true. I have received a lot of that, but I've also had the huge blessing of being a part of pouring into other people's lives and being able to bless them in different ways. And so that has been a huge gift.
Well, I think of my mom saying to us, you get out what you put in.
Yep.
And how that applies to everything. So how can, this sounds great. This kind of community sounds great. Someone on community? Community. That sounds great too. How do people get involved in that kind of community?
Well, you know what? I was recently listening to a podcast, and we talk about how loneliness is a great epidemic in today's society. And so the podcaster said, what do you wish that a friend in your life would do for you? Or what would that friend look like? And so is that someone showing up at your house with, or at work with your favorite cup of coffee, your favorite latte, and just encouraging you? Is it someone that calls you and just says, hey, how was your day? What was the high of your day? What was the low of your day? Is it someone that knows that you've been going through a hard time in your life, and they remembered that, and then they called you, and they said, hey, I know that things have been a little rough lately. How is that situation going for you? And she said, you know, if that's the type of friend that you're wanting, I believe that if Jesus was sitting here having coffee with us today, he would say, be the first to go first. Be that friend. Do that. In fact, we know it as the golden rule, but in scripture it says, do to others as you would have them do unto you. And so be the one to go first. It may feel risky. It may be a little bit out of your comfort zone, but it is worth it. Introduce yourself to someone new. Be that friend that you're longing for someone else to be to you. Go first.
Yeah, one of the things I asked from Jesus was to show me all the benefits of COVID. And one of the benefits of COVID was we kind of had a fresh start when we came back together again as a church. Remember we closed doors completely? Remember those old days when we closed the doors completely for a while? And then we opened it up and it was new. So that you look around the room, maybe today you feel like, I don't know enough people. I don't know very many people here. Chances are most everybody else is saying the same thing.
And we got name tags today.
And today we got name tags. We want to help you out. And so like we're saying, don't wait for someone to come and introduce themselves to you and make you feel at home. We're all feeling new. So go and make someone else feel at home and reap the benefits of that. Mm-hmm. What might keep a person from getting involved in community? It sounds so great. Why would someone not want to do
that? Well, you know, I think there's this fear of rejection. What if I step out and I get stepped on rather than received with open arms, right? I think there's also the time and investment that can be sacrifice, and that can be a lot. And so there's maybe that fear of it's going to take too much of my time. And just even taking that initiative, it can feel risky. Stepping out of your comfort zone. You may not believe this, but I am way more comfortable in a one-on-one conversation than I am in a large group. And so, so it can feel really uncomfortable and really risky to step out in a crowd like this as well.
Yeah, but the payoff is so worth it.
Payoff is huge. It's so worth it.
So what options are there for people?
Well, there is so much for every age group here in our church, starting with our littlest ones up to whatever age, we've got something for you to weigh to
Options
connect
in. Galore.
Options galore. There is a plethora of options. So first of all, you've got kids up to grade 3 starting next week. We have kids church starting on Sundays. And so you can be a part of that. And again, in those areas, kids are in smaller groups. So they're going to able get to know kids of the same age, build relationships with each other. And then we have our Club 456, which is starting again this Wednesday after school at 4 o'clock. Again, a smaller group of kids the same age that can get to know each other and build relationship within one another. Then our youth group meets Wednesday nights, again, launching this week. There's a lot of launch in
this
week.
A lot of launch this week.
And 7 o'clock here at the church. Now, this can be intimidating when you walk in. There's a lot of youth here. There can be 80 to 100 youth here. But again, they break off into small groups. So they get to know each other on a smaller level. And so don't be intimidated by that. If you walk through the door and there's a lot of youth here, stick around because you will get to know someone else. We've got young adults, Sunday evenings that meets with Pastor Michael. So you can be involved with that. We have our 30-plus social group that we just did one event in the spring. We're going to do more again starting in November. Keep watch for that. So this is for singles and couples to come. And I'm hoping that out of that, more life groups will form. And as we get to know each other socially on a smaller level, that we will then we'll launch into life groups from that. But we are going to talk about life groups quite a bit. But before we get into focusing on life groups, there's other ways that you can be a part of our community, and that is by being a part of the celebrations that happen here. Come to the baptisms. Encourage people in their walk with Jesus by coming to their baptism and just being present. That is huge community right there. As well as baby dedications. That's another great one. When they accept Jesus, coming alongside them and encouraging them and being a part of that. Then we have our church-wide events like our Connection Campfires this summer. They're a great opportunity to get to know people, again, on a smaller, very relaxed atmosphere, great time together. Our short-term mission trips, Pastor Michael's taking one this next spring, and so that's another great way. And then serving. This is huge. This is another piece that I'm really passionate about is serving together in community is so key and so much fun. It's so much more fun to serve together than it is by yourself. And so we have many opportunities to partner with the town of Sylvan Lake and other areas in that, but also serving here in our local body.
Yeah. And our seniors, did you mention our seniors?
Oh, I missed this.
No, they got breakfast tomorrow morning.
Breakfast tomorrow, yes. Yeah. And that's awesome, yes. So please come out to that, yes.
They will card you at the door, so don't try and sneak in.
They call me a senior in training.
Oh, nice.
So I get to come too.
Okay, so I want to take the next little bit here and focus specifically on life groups. And why might life groups be sort of the best thing we do here at ACC?
You know what? They're smaller. That's a key piece, is that they're smaller. You're getting to know 10 to 15 people on a real personal level. And so that is really, really key. It's really hard to get to know someone in a large crowd where it can be really noisy and really distracting. But man, you really get to know people when you gather on a regular basis.
Regular basis, yeah.
And you share your week, you share your joys and your sorrows, you pray together, you study God's word together. There's just great benefit to that.
Yeah, I've shared this before, but I have an attendance goal for ACC, actually. I have an attendance goal, and that goal is 10. 10 people, maybe 100 times around. So just groups of 10 meeting together, sharing their lives with each other, holding each other accountable, praying for each other, encouraging each other, knowing each other, loving each other. This is what I want to see ACC be, a population of 10, 100 times over. And what do we need then if we want to be a church of life groups, not just a church that has a few dangling life groups, but a church of life groups?
Yep.
What do we need for that to happen?
Well, we need more hosts and facilitators of that.
What's a host?
So a host would be someone that's willing to open up their home and just have people gather in their home. Because sometimes we have people that are willing to facilitate, so lead the Bible discussion, lead the evening, but they don't have a home large enough to accommodate 10 people. And so, or they live way out of town, and so it's easier to gather here. And I have to tell you, our church is so booked to capacity with life groups in here. We just don't have space in the church anymore. And it's way, I don't know, going into someone's home is just a way comfier atmosphere to build relationship with one another.
I agree.
So we need hosts, and then we need facilitators. So those that are willing to lead the Bible study, lead the discussion. And then we need people to attend. We need people to engage. And again, that requires you to take the risk and step out and count yourself in.
So just in closing, just because I want to make this as street level as I possibly can. Because people are going, I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I just don't know if I want to be. I don't know what's going to be. It's new to me. I don't know what's going to be involved. So what would a typical, I guess, life group evening look like?
Yeah. So they all can look very different in some ways, but I feel like there's some key pieces that tend to be the same in most life groups. And that is, well, there's usually food.
Yeah, man.
There's usually food, let's just say. There's usually something wonderful to eat. Now, it could be dessert, it could be veggies, it could be a meal, it varies from life group to life group. There is a life group that's starting for single women, actually, that's going to be a potluck
on
Sunday nights. And so, so everyone contributes to that meal. And so that's an opportunity. Then it's sharing your week with one another, where you're at, how your life is going. Then it's diving into God's word. And so what does that look like? We have in your bulletin even today, there are sermon discussion questions that you as a facilitator can use to just start discussion in your life group and follow up what we've talked about today. And so really simple, the resource is there for you. You don't have to come up with the questions yourself. It's all there for you.
And you do training for leaders too.
That's great. And then we also have our Right Now Media resource. You talked about that last week. And so there's lots of Bible studies available on there. Plus, in our volunteer lounge, there's lots of small group Bible studies and resources in there. You can come and have a look at any time. And then we have a time of prayer together and a time praying for one another and bringing things before the Lord and in community. So, and then there's times to serve together, opportunities to serve together as a team, as a small group, as well as just being involved in our local community.
It's about an hour and a half to 2 hours, probably, tops, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, that's what we wanted to say today about community, because we want to encourage everybody to get involved in closer community. This is lovely when we gather. We want us to continue to gather on like this at a big room, but we want you to get to know each other deeper too.